Last time we discussed Tzivonim, and I realized afterwards we got a little bit sidetracked and I didn't come back to one nekuda that I wanted to make, which was the second part of the Mil Tzedakah quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger and Sif Yud quotes the Mil Tzedakah first that talks about a kesem that straddles both Tzavua and Lavan. And if you have a bag with different patches and you have a total gris on the Lavan, even if there is Tzavua in the middle, that's going to be a problematic kesem. And then the second part is V'chein Imrasa Kesem Lavan U'bishnei Kitzosav Mara Edom. The opposite case. You have, not exactly opposite, but you have a kesem that's Lavan, but on either extreme you have some red. Halavan mitzarfan la'edom sheyak kesem afad v'im yesh be'edom yachad sheyar kesem tmei. So you have red, white, wet, red. You have fundamentally a white kesem, but on the extremes you have some red. And the red itself has a total of a sheyar gris, even though each part of the red is independently less than a gris. So the Mil Tzedakah says, in that case where you have red, white, wet, and there's a total of a grift between the reds, even though the reds are not next to each other, since they're all part of the same kesem, that is Temeah. Rabbi Karp just points out in the Mishmaris Satara, Paragimel Sif Gimel, he says this is Pashut, but he saw someone who said otherwise, so he had to clarify, that what we're talking about is where it's clear that it's a single unified kesem. You could tell that it's one kesem, and it just changes color at some point. So there, if you have a total of a gris of red, it's going to be tame. But if it's not apparent that it's one kesem, it could be multiple ksamim that just happen to be next to each other, like a red kesem, a white kesem, and a red kesem, and it's not clear that it's part of the same origin, so then this din wouldn't apply. And we're talking about where it's apparent that it's a single kesem, and you just have red on each extremity that adds up to a sheer gris. The Alter Rebbe disagrees. Rav Avadia quotes this on page Shin Sadi Hei. The Alter Rebbe disagrees with the psak of the Mil Tzedakah, but the Rav Poskim, the consensus is like the Mil Tzedakah. If you have such a case, there would be mafmir that kesem is temeya. Okay. What I wanted to focus on today were just a few points from the rest of the Siman. Siman Kusadi is fairly lengthy, and the rest of the Siman after Sif Yud, deals with various situations of Tlias. Till now, we're talking about the absolute exclusions from Hilchos Ksamim of Shir and Seva and Enim Makabel Tumah. And the rest of the Siman, based on the Sugyos primarily in Perek HaRoach Kesem, deals with situations where there's a specific Tlias, specific attribution, that under certain circumstances you have the right to attribute a kesem to something other than dam migufa. Most of these applications are not very lemaisa. The practical applications are few and far between, which is why we're not focusing on it so much. We'll just point to some highlights in the siman. The yesod of Sif Yud Aleph, which is based on the Gemara in the beginning of Haroah Kesem, is that if you see Dam al-Basar, if a woman sees Dam on her body, so that's only going to be Tmei and Mishum Kesem if it's in a place where it could reasonably have come Migufa. And that, as we'll see, could be sometimes time and place dependent. Lashon Mechaber, Lo b'chol makom sheyimsa sham kesem Tmeya. Not every place that you find the kesem is that kesem going to automatically be tmeya. El b'makash efshesh shabasham and b'kor. It has to be in a place where it's feasible that it would have come migufa. Kesad nimsa al akava tmeya. So what's one example? If you find it on her heel, she's going to be tmeya. Why is that? Because it's feasible that her heel was situated under Osamakam at some point, and Dam could have come Migufa onto her heel. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. That's the Al-Kiva is a case in the Mishnah, the beginning of Rav Kesem. And the Gemara says, Avid Dinaga Basamakam, so it's conceivable that the woman may have situated or placed her heel in such a way that it could have been mekabel dam mi gufa. Take a look here at the Taz, Sifkat and Yud. The Taz writes, ala kava tmeya, shema naga b'osamakam b'shivasa, maybe she touched, or her heel touched, osamakam when she was sitting. U'pirish b'prisha, t'hainu kisha yashvasa k'derach yishme elim. That's what we would call Indian style. That if she was sitting, I guess the Taz calls it Mid-Eastern style, but what we would call Indian style, which maybe is not PC anymore, that if you sit in such a way, so then it's conceivable that the dam could come, the osamakam, could come migufa onto her heel. So some say, the Taurus of Bayez quotes, Rav Avadya, page Tafu Gimel, quotes in the Maisei Rokeach on the Rambam, that if that's a concern, so then that should be time and place sensitive. That Maisei Rokeach writes in his time and place, people didn't sit in that kind of a fashion, and therefore, if you find Dam al Hakev, it would not be Timea. And that's what some of the contemporary Svarim say. Rabbi Morgenstern says that, I believe, Lahalacha in the Pesachei Das. However, there is an Aruch HaShulchan not disagreeing with the fundamental notion that things could change based on time and place, but in terms of the specific application here, the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Mem Vav quotes the Taz, and he says, if that was the case, that in our time and place, you don't have to be concerned about Dam HaLakev anymore, then the Ramah should have said something, because people weren't sitting Indian style in Krakow in the 1500s either. And the fact that the Ramah doesn't make any comment or emendation on the Zaka Mechaber, Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's indication that even if you live in a place where people don't sit Indian style, then if you find Dam HaLakev, it still could be Tamei. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, look, there are other ways that a person could sit in which Dam could conceivably end up Al HaKev Migufa. If you crash in a certain way, you bend your legs in a certain way, it's conceivable that Dam could end up on the heel. Yeah.
Are these just examples that a Chumman thought it was possible, or were they closer that this is...
No, I think these are examples. You know, that's what seems pretty clear from the Gemara. I'm sorry?
Does the halacha not apply anymore for God to catch on her foot?
It's the application, that's what we're saying. So according to the Taz, it doesn't...
Is it obvious?
I'm sorry?
Is it obvious they were involved?
Is it obvious? I don't know if anything's obvious, but you get... That's what the... that's what's being discussed here. And these possible, even the Aruch HaShulchan seems to agree that in principle, if you have a tzir of a taliyah, I mean, because taliyahs are all case specific, as opposed to the blanket gzeros of, or the blanket exclusions of in Mekabel Tumah and Savu and Briz, these are all reflective of feasibility, attributability, attribution. So, yeah, that seems to be the thrust of how this is presented, that the examples are not etched in stone, but simply reflective of what could be. We'll see, as we talked about some other applications, exactly where you draw the line. That may be subject to debate, but it seems like the Yisod is pretty much agreed on.
Someone doesn't apply nowadays?
None of what?
Oh,
okay, we'll get there. Good. Okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't dispute the fact that you could have a tzir where things change, but he thinks that even in his times and later times when people didn't sit in the old fashion of Kederach Yishmeilim, there still are ways that a person could sit that Dam could end up Al HaKev. And Rav Avadya's Machmir Lalacha in this case, as far as Dam Al HaKev, that unless you have other tzirufim, unless there are other reasons to be Mekel, you can't just be Mako because people don't typically sit Indian style anymore. Okay. Then the next example there in Nunches is Nimseis al Kishrei Esbosef. So that's the Mechaber across a few lines later. The Chayin and Nimse al Yadef, you find Dam on their hands, Afil al Kishrei Esbosef, even on the knuckles, that also is Tveya. You don't have a Taliyah there that the dam came from somewhere else, unless there's a specific taliyah to speak of. Shayadayim maskaniyo saying, because hands tend to move around and touch things, the shamanaga bosamakam, and you have to be concerned that maybe at some point she touched osamakam. Okay, so how absolute is this din of Kishrei Etzvoset? The Lashon of Rashba. Rashba, Nun Chesem and Aleph, Dibra Maskel Nimsal Kishrei Etzvoset. Nun Chesem and Aleph, Dibra Maskel Nimsal Kishrei Etzvoset. Which was, Nimsal Kishrei Etzvoset. Says the Rashba. Dafka Shebadka Atzma. Velo not la yada acharkach. So when is it that if she sees dam on her fingers that she's tameya? That's if she did a bedika and she didn't wash her hands afterwards, and now she sees dam on her fingers. So where do you think that dam came from? If she did a bedika and she sees dam on her fingers, that obviously came in gufa. Aval below bedika, but stam, a woman didn't do any bedika, she's just minding her own business. Vaday lo chayshinan sheba naga yada shalob kavan beveis hatorfa. We're not worried that a woman is going to absentmindedly touch osamakom dasiya hili zahir shalotu lachlech yada, because women are careful not to stam for no reason get their hands dirty, and unless we know that she did a bedika and didn't wash her hands afterwards, we're not concerned that just because yaday maskadiyos saying that a woman is going to absentmindedly touch osamakom. Okay, that's the Rashba there, both in the Taras Abayis and in the Chidushim. The Magen Mishnah claims, the Magen Mishnah Perek Tas Halacha Ches, Magen Mishnah claims that Mistimas Lashon HaRambam, that the Rambam argues. What does the Rambam say? All the Rambam really says, Perek Tes Halacha Ches Yisurei Bia. V'chein nimsa hadam al yada afilu al kishrei esbaos yadeha temeya shayadayim askani osein. That's all the Rambam says. The Magish and the Ramban in his halachas basically says the same thing. So the Magen Mishnah thinks that Mistimas Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam is machmir, that even Bistam, even if we have no knowledge that a woman was no gas, but samakam, still we have to be machmir because Yadayim Askani Osei, and we're concerned that maybe she touched Osamakam, Lavadaite, and dam came out migufa and landed on her fingers. That's what the Magen Mishnah thinks, is that HaRambam and HaRamban.
Does the Magen Mishnah say it there just because the Ravid doesn't? Meaning, he says, what is that coming from for the Ramban?
The Ramban Malachus also just quotes that line without any qualification. So the Magen Mishnah thinks the fact that the Rambam and the Ramban quote this halacha without qualification indicates that they argue on the Rashba. Now, you could disagree with that assessment. The Chayyadim points out, the Chai Adam in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Chachmas Adam, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Dalid, Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Dalid, he doesn't think that's a very compelling argument, because we know, Darker Shal Rambam, the Rambam just quotes the Gemara, so you don't expect the Rambam to give commentary. So the Rambam is just quoting the Gemara. So the fact that the Rambam quotes the Gemara without qualification doesn't mean that he doesn't think, Lalacha, that there is no qualification. That's Darker Shal Rambam. And the same thing in the Ramban. He doesn't think that there's any raya from the Rambam and the Ramban that they necessarily argue on the Rashba. And moreover, he says that the Rashba, when he quotes it, the Rashba, he quotes the Salacha in the name of his Rebbe. So usually his Rebbe means Ramban, even though he acknowledges sometimes his Rebbe is Rebbe Yona, so that's not necessarily Bechreach, that the Rashba B'Shem Rabbo means the Ramban. But at the very least, he doesn't think you have any raya that the Ramban disagrees with with the Rashba. How do we paskin? Do we paskin the qualification of the Rashba or the Magamisha's understanding that there is no qualification, and any time you see al dam, al kishvei asbaseyach b'choshesh, that it came migufa? So the Lashon HaMechaber that we just read is essentially so same like the Lashon HaRambam. Right? V'chein en nimsa al yada afil ha kishrei esbaseha shayidai meskhani yosein v'shem enoga b'osamakam. That's essentially the Lashon HaRambam with the added words shem enoga b'osamakam. Says the Shach, Sivkata Yud Ches, Mashma lehedya, midivei Torah v'Shulchan Aruch, da'afilu b'stam chayshina and shem enagu, v'chein da'as harav ha'magid. The Shach thinks that the Mechaber and the Torah are mashma like the Magid Mishnah, that we're concerned across the board, even b'stam. Even this time. And Rav Aved is not convinced. Taras Abayis page Taf Yudalit. He thinks no. On the contrary, the Mechaber adds in four words that we don't have in the Rambam. Even if you accept the Magid Mishnah's reading of the Rambam, which may not be necessarily compelling, but even if you accept that, the Mechaber adds four words. Shema Nagabal Samakam. Ravadya thinks Shema Nagabal Samakam means that that's a concern where there is such a possibility of Shema Nagabal Samakam. But just this time, if you have no reason to believe that she touched those Samakam, so maybe she'd be Torah. He writes that he found the Lechem is similar, asked the same question on the Shach, but he was bothered by it. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm confused. I thought we said earlier the Rav Avadya was Machmir after...
The Rav Avadya was Machmir in the first case about Indian style.
Right.
That's a separate question. Indian style, this man is, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you're going to find Dam on the ankle, so even if you don't sit Indian style, there are other ways that you could sit that could conceivably produce dam neosamaka. But
he's makel for other parts of the body.
That's one issue, because there it's more of a possibility that maybe dam could come alakva. But on your hand, if you have no reason to suspect that you touch osamaka, so there he thinks like the Rashba. And that's what the Mechaber means. The Bavli Shulchan says that we also would ask the Mechaber, Bavli Shulchan, Sifkatan, Kuf, Kaf, Ches. Now, even if you accept the Shach's reading of the Mechaber to Paskin like the Magid Mishnah, that you always have to be concerned about Dam, Al Kishrei Etzba, Sehah, Piskei Tshuva, Kos, and Sidrei Torah, another qualification. Take a look at Piskei Tshuva, Sifkatan, Kaf, Gimel. Because of the Sidrei Torah is in Sifkat and Kavav, the Dafka Minastam, Chayshin and Shema Naga Biyada, B'makam de Efshar Lipol Dam in a Makor. So we're only concerned, Shema Nagu, where there's a possibility, you don't know one way or another, but there's a possibility that maybe Dam, maybe she touched Osamakam, and Dam came onto her hand. Aval, Im Amra Barili, Shalona Gati Bosa Mekomos, She'efsha Lipo Sham Dam in a Makor. But if she says, I know for sure that since the last time I looked at my hands, I didn't touch that area, Ne'emenes, so then a woman would be believed, and she would be Tahora. V'lo Arminan, Tahave Milsa de la Ramya, we don't say that Milsa de la Ramya Nafshe, that she's not conscious of what she touches, Yadai Maskani Yosein. And even if she says for sure, I never touched that area, we don't believe her because maybe she didn't realize. Nope. That if she doesn't remember one way or another, stops, and they have to be machmer. But if she says, Barili, that I never touched El Samakam since the last time I looked at my hands, since the last time I cleaned them, then we believe her, and she's going to be Tahora, even according to the Magen Mishnah. And then the Sidri Tar goes on, it's quoted here in the Pesach Tshuva, Gam Nira, the Afu Debi Amach Nirim Karambam, the Kethem Sha'al Besara Einu Tzarech Shir, even if you are Machmir, as we discussed earlier, like the Shidas Harambam, that if you have a Kethem Al Besara, you don't need a Shir, even less than a grace is going to be Tumeya, Mikol Makom, Benim Sa'al Yadeha, Yesh Lismoch Al Poskim, the Af Al Besara Tzarech Shir. But if you see Dam Al Yadeha, so then you could be Mekel, if it's less than a grace. So, because there you could be mitzvah that she does a rashba. The after adam achnir that's a maga mishnah. For here you could be mitzvah to a sex fake, if you will. That maybe we assume, like the rashba, that as long as you didn't actually touch the area for sure, she's the whole. Right? Even if you assume like the Rambam maga mishnah. But maybe you assume against the Magen Mishnah as far as the Shir Pachos Migris Al Besara. Yeah.
Right,
so any,
she does touch her leg here, and then
I'm sorry?
She touches her leg here, and then it's not good.
No, it's any place where it could come onto her hand.
Which blood can be here, so it sounds like he's saying she touches her leg.
So I don't know if he means that, or any place in the surrounding area around the area of El Samakom where it could come out and land on her hand. What?
Why would you draw the line?
I'm sorry.
You mean the dumb fell on her hand?
The dom fell in her hand. That's a concern.
No, the dom fell in her hand. She touched
it. Rabbi Morgenstern makes another point on Rabbi Karp. Rabbi Karp makes a point in the Mishmar Satara Paragimel. Footnote 57, that he thinks Evan will agree, even if you disagree with the Rashba, even if you're like the Magen Mishnah, that even Bistam or Choshesh, that maybe the dam ended up coming Mibisara onto Migufa onto her hand, but he thinks Evan will agree to the following Nekuda, the Rashba. The Rashba wrote that he's only concerned if you didn't wash your hands after you touched the area. But Evan should agree that if you did wash your hands, and then you look at your hand right after you wash them, and you see dam, so then you don't have to be concerned that dam came migufa. Now coming to Yossi's point, the Chachmas Adam writes in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Beis, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Beis, as follows. If you have my Shulchan Aruch, Benji,
yeah.
You take a look inside. Kuf Yud Gimel Os Yud Beis. Page 18 in this printing. V'chein nimsal yada afilu akishrei esposel mi b'chutz afilu l'bakas asa mikode b'nei sheidai maskani yasein v'sham enoga b'asamakam mikol makam im amr barili shelo nagadi b'asamakamos. If she says, I definitely didn't touch those areas efshar lipol sham dam in a makor where dam could come and land on her fingers. That's what we just quoted from the Sidri Tara. Okay. The O nearly. So I'll skip that. Upshita, the end of the paragraph. The makam she efshar liga ba'oso yad ba'oso makam imlo she tagbia bigada ulefnim. So if it's such a situation where the only way that she could touch that area is by lifting up her clothing, kigon she had beged sasam lagamri, that she's wearing tight undergarments, and you know, there's no way that in the normal course of touching things, you touch that area. Kigon she beged sasam lagamri b'osetzad. And she says she didn't have any occasion to lift up her clothing in such a way that she would be touching that area. Nearly diyesh lahakel. So you think it definitely can be makel in a situation where there's no reasonable way that, even if you're going to be concerned, that maybe daimaskanios, and she touched the area without realizing it, but if there's a super effort involved in touching the area because she's wearing a tight-fitting undergarment that you have to lift up, or whatever clothing you'd have to lift up, and she says she didn't do that, so then you don't have to be choshesh. Okay, and that's what a number of the later posts can say, that in our situations, we'll see perhaps other applications of this as we go on, our situations where women typically do wear tight-fitting undergarments, that you wouldn't have occasion to touch that area during the normal course of events. So if a woman says that she didn't touch the area, then even if otherwise you'd be machmel, like the Magen Mishnah, you could be makel on that. Yeah?
Does anyone discuss in general her lines?
That's a din of shuka parsa seha, right? That nimsal ikva tameya b'chena nimsal kol arach shoka parsa seha mibifdim. So that's also one of the examples in the Mishnah where she would be tameya.
Same with the don't
care. I'm sorry.
With the right now,
That's one. If a woman's sleeping, then. Right, depends on what she's wearing at the time. Right, so then it's possible that's the case. Yes. Okay, you skip now to Sif Lamed Tes. So the din of Ksamim only applies, Ksamim al a beged, only applies to a beged that is badukla, that was checked ahead of time to make sure that it's not previously dirty or previously riddled with ksamim. The lashon ha-mechaber here. Eina isha tmeyam ishim kesem shin masa v'chaluka elam kein haya badukla kodem shelav shasa. So a woman's only going to be tmeya ishim kesem that she finds on a beged if the beged is previously checked. But if it wasn't checked beforehand and she wears it without checking it, she finds a kesem on that beged, she's going to be tahora. Take a look at the shach of katan memvav. Afilu yoda mimi lakhaso. Kevan shelo hayabaduk ani omer kesem zek far haya. So, even if she knows, she didn't just pick up a random piece of clothing, but she knows whose clothing it was, where it came from, where it was before, but as long as you didn't actually check it to see that there are no ksamim, then you have the right to be mekel, because by ksamim we go lakula. So here, one second, here, our contemporary situations may end up at the relative chumrah. Chacham Sadam writes, Kuf Yud Gimel Lamed Ches, back where you just were. Chuf Yud Gimel Lamed Tes. And Benji at the top of page 22 in this printing. Lefize, to go through Salah, we just quoted for Shulchan Aruch. Yeshlomar, Kevan Dinashim Shalanu, Einam Bodkos Hakisones Kodem Halavisha. So our women don't generally check their clothing before they wear them. In Lo Haisa Nisaras Aniach Osa B'Maka Musna Takef Lachar Kvisa, that if she wasn't careful to put it in a safe place after it went to the laundry, Ela Sheinicha Osa B'Mkomel She'enim Nukiyim, so she did a laundry. Laundry, the Chochmas Sadeh doesn't mean in the washing machine, but she did a laundry. However, the women did laundry in Vilna in the 1800s, early 1800s, late 1700s. So that she did the laundry, and then she put it in a place that wasn't clean. Kagod b'mita, she dumped it on the bed. V'chayotze bo. U'motze sham pish v'shin. And there are bugs on the bed. In Kenya, shlitlos v'zeh. Afilo hayakasa magrib. So then you can be tola on the bugs. Avalim and yichaso teke p'maka musna. But if as soon as you take it out of the laundry, you put it in a safe, guarded place, even if you didn't check it before you wore it, you put it on your bed, but there are no bed bugs. So if it's on the surface, so then that's an indication that it's a new maglid. If it's on the surface, that's an indication that it's a new blood from a new source, and then you have to be choshek. So the Chochmas Adam distinguishes between where you took good care of it after it came out of the laundry and where you just dumped it on the bed where there were bed bugs. But in the Mishmeres HaTara Paragimel footnote 72, we quote from Rav Yashiv. And nowadays, where even if you dump your laundry on the bed after you cleaned it, first of all, you probably did a pretty good job cleaning it in your washing machine, but we don't typically have bed bugs on our beds, so the presumption is that any piece of clothing that comes out of the laundry is becheskas badok, halakhically speaking, and therefore, even if you didn't look at it before you put it on, and then you find a kesem afterwards, you have to be choshesh, that kesem is problematic, and you can't be tola that maybe the kesem was there before just because you didn't check the garment before you put it on. Yassi. You had your hand over. Okay. Benji.
So I'm just understanding Rabbi Yashiv is saying that to our detergent that we use in our laundry.
Even forget about detergent, our home. So even if you wash the clothing in the river, and then you hang it out to dry, and then you dump it on your bed, and you didn't look at it before you put it on afterwards. But we're not worried. Our houses are relatively clean. We don't have bed bugs, and it's unreasonable to be tola that kesem on having been on the garment before you put it in the laundry just because you didn't look at it carefully after it came out of the laundry.
Okay. After how many uses would that status change?
I don't know if it ever changed.
I mean, if his idea is that the way we clean things is the only difference. You know, once I wear a shirt once or twice, I would think, and it's been out in the world.
We're talking about seeing dam or seeing a kesem of dam on a beggar. So the presumption is that if it went through the laundry, so if there was dam before, the dam, you're not going to have fresh blood on the...
You're saying once you left the house in the morning and come back and wash it?
That would be... I'm saying before it goes back in laundry. I have a shirt, like I wash it, at that point it's considered bundled.
Oh, I misunderstood your question. Okay,
I wear it for, you know, I wear it for a whole day, and then a few days later it's still relatively clean, so I put it on again.
Okay.
But it's been out in the world for a while now.
So if you're nis'aska b'ksamim, or you went b'shuk shel tabachim, or you went to a place where it's attributable to some outside source, then you have that taliyah.
Right.
If not, so like, the question... If the question is, can he be tola it on an event that happened prior to the last wash, so So we're saying that in our general situation, you can't be tolling something before the wash. You can be tolling something more recent. So yeah, that depends on whether there's any such tliya. Yeah.
We're talking about, for example, something that's miyuchat for a woman or any kind of clothing. For example, I have a bed sheet, and we have this maise,
yeah.
And there is a kitten.
Right.
Now,
mm-hmm.
There are more than one woman in my house.
So that's
anyway,
a din.
Yeah,
so that's a different din here of the in Sif. Sif Nun, for example, Sif Memtes, Sif Mem. Starting with Memches, various cases the Gemara has of two women wearing one garment or three women sleeping in the same bed, and various permutations as to. You know, if one of them is ready to make, one of them is tahora, can you be told of the tuma on the makulkal on the makulkal? So that's the various. You know, these are situations that are highly not lemaisa these days because we don't have women sharing clothing, we don't have women sleeping in the same bed with the same sheets. But that's the various permutations we have in the Gemara that's reflected here in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to spend time on, but you have all those cases there, and then you also have the cases that I'm also not going to spend time on. Of if you have the ability to be tola on something from another family member who also used the same garment or the same sheet, al baila, al baneha, etc. So that's sif memal, sif membeis. So you have all those various scenarios. Yeah. Okay. Then. In Sif Yubeis, this is based on the Gemara and in Chesam Yubeis as well. So Sif Yubeis, we have the following scenario. Nimsa kesem al chaluka lamata me'achagur. So if you find the kesem on her garment under the area of the belt, o b'makam achagur atzmo t'meya, I feel a nimsa sakhut. It's because there it's reasonable, but the presumption is that down there would have come mi gufa. So the Piskei Shuva here in Kaf Vav quotes the Sidri Tara. So the Gemara in Daf Nechasam Beis that talks about Shlosha Chalukim Zalzeh, that a woman is wearing three garments, one on top of the other. Im Eina Yechola Litlos, Eina Tola Fiyubelion. So if you don't have the ability to be Tola, if we're talking about Kesem Al Chalukim Lamatam Yechagor, that's a case where you can't be Tola, you have to assume that the Dam came Yigufa. But let's say you're wearing three layers in that area of Lamatam Yechagor. So the din is that if you can't be tola, then you can't even be tola be'elya. Means you would have said that, look, I see dam on the top garment, and I don't see dam on the middle garment, and I don't see dam on the bottom garment. So had it come mi gufa, I would have seen it on the bottom garment, right? So maybe I can be tola. The fact that I only see it on the top garment is indication that the dam came from somewhere else. So he writes, again, the hadi is a b'shas lavsha shlosha chalukim zelzeh im eina yichala litlos eina tola fila be'alyon dafka gimel chalukim sheheim kisonos hataptonos ubahani ikal ameimar shineskablu taptonos. So we're talking about where the garments are placed in such a way that it's possible that the lower garment got folded over and the upper garment came in direct contact with her body. So there, you can't say just because there's no dam in the lower garment and you see dam in the upper garment, it must have come from somewhere else. No, maybe at the time that the dam came out of her body, the lower garments were folded in such a way that the upper garment was in direct contact with osamakam. Aval, the malbushim gemurim ubifrat malbushim shalanu near the ein chashash es be'alyon. But the Sidur Torah writes, in our clothing, where you don't have that possibility, right, in Kol Shekein, in our contemporary clothing, where a woman would be wearing a tight-fitting undergarment that there's no way that would have just folded up and the outer garment would have come in direct contact with her body. The lekel amembar b'mambushim ke'elush in his kaplu, there's no reasonable way to assume that the lower garment would have gotten folded up. So in that case, this then doesn't apply. And in a chanami, if you find the dam, let's say in our situation, you find dam in an outer garment and not in the undergarment, then you don't have to be choshesh. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes on page 335, volume 2, B'shem Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv said, this is only, you can only be mekel where there's no way in the world that the dam could have gotten onto the outer garment without getting onto the inner garment first. So you have to assess the situation on a case-by-case basis to see whether there's a reasonable possibility or a feasible possibility that you could have had a situation of the dam coming to gufa and only dirtying the outer garment and not the inner garment. Now, Rav Vosner says that this same argument could be used l'chumra also. How does that work? And here, this is a kula, that in the Ikara din, the din of the Gemara is that if you have three garments on top of each other, you see dam in the outer one, you have to be choshesh. So the kula of the Sidur Torah is that if it's in such a way that the lower garment couldn't have folded up and there's no way that the upper garment came in direct contact with her body without the lower garment first catching the dam, so that ends up being a kula. But Rav Vosner points out in the Shevet Alevi there could be a chumra also if you use the same logic. Take a look at Sif Yud Ches. The Yud Ches is the din of your classic tliya of Shuk Shel Tabachim the like. Kevin Shiksamim de Rabbanan Makilim Behem the Tola B'chol Davar Shichal Lilla. So you have the right to be told in any reasonable attribution. Keis Hashach de Behem Mechayu Of Nisafka B'ksamim. So women is in the presence of Shrita, she's touching blood. Yashav Asayim is asking him, Avra B'shur Shel Tabachim, all these cases where she sees Dama L'Pigadeha, then she could be Tola V'Tahora. Afilu Lovesh Es Gimel Chalukim Zal Zeh, even in the case where she's walking through the Shuk Shel Tabachim, and she's wearing three garments, V'Nimsa Afilu B'Tachto and Tahora, and even if you find Dama in the lower garment, she is Tahora in that case. So says Rav Vosner, but nowadays, if a woman is wearing a tight-fitting undergarment, and she has clothing on top of it, so there's no reasonable attribution to say that if she's walking through a Shuk Shel Tabachim, that the dam would land directly on her undergarment and not on her on the outer clothing. So here it ends up being a chumra relative to Dina de Gemara, that you can't reasonably be tole that the dam would come from the Shuk Shel Tabachim onto her undergarment. Okay, take a look at Sif Kaf Beis. Safek im Avra b'Shuk Shel Tabachim o im Yashva b'Tzadim is askin b'Ksamim. So if you have a Safek, whether she b'chlal walked through the Shuk Shel Tabachim, whether she sat next to the people who are Osei b'Ksamim, we don't know. So if you have a suffix whether she actually was there, you have no right to be told. And the qualification is that if you're in a city where everyone's the local industry is shechting animals and everyone always walks past people shechting animals, so then you can be mekel. But fundamentally, in a situation of suffix, you have no right to be mekel. So the Or Zeruah writes, by the Shulchan quotes this here, that, So the Or Zeruah writes, that this is essentially a svek svek l'chumra. Meaning we don't know whether she went through the Shuk Shal Tabachim. Even if she went through the Shuk Shal Tabachim, maybe there was no dam that splattered on her from the Tabachim. So in that case, if it's Svek Svek L'chumra, you have no right to be Mekel. Okay, take a look at Kav Vav. Nisaska B'dam she Efshar Shia Mimenu Kethem Ela Kigris. Let's say she is Osekes B'Ksamen. So she's playing with the dam. But the dam that she's Osekes with is only enough to create a Kethem that's the size of a Gris. V'nimsa laha kishnei grisin. But she sees a kesem that's twice that size. She sees a kesem that's two grisin. Harei ze tola kigris b'dam, shenis askabo, ukigris b'macholas. So she has the right to be meko with a combination of tliya, so to speak. She can be tola the one gris on the ksamim that she's nisasik with, and the other gris, that's your standard fallback. You could always be tola up to a gris based on macholas. So if it's more than two grisin, you're out of luck. But if it's up to two grisin, even if she's only a second biksam that could create one gris, you have the right to be mekel, to be mitzaref, the gris corresponding to the esa biksamim, and another gris corresponding to a macholas. Okay, the Piskei Shuvim Sifkaton Lamed Aleph, of course, another example of a tliya from the Chamudi Daniel, that if a woman has chronic nosebleeds, or even occasional nosebleeds, so then that creates another possibility of a tliya, if it's found in a place that could have possibly been mekabel dam from the nosebleed. Okay, let's... Let's look at one more point over here. Take a look at Sif Lamed Aleph. Matzah kesem ve'ein la b'med litlos. So a woman sees a kesem and there's no obvious taliyah. V'adavim mesupik im hudam otseva. But we don't know whether it's dam or nail polish. Ma'veres alav zayin samanim. So that's the din of the Mishnah Samach Aleph of Shiva Samamanim, the Chazala traditions that there are certain Samamanim that could be used as a test to prove whether something's Dam or not. Im Amad Be'ena Vereset Seva, Utahora, Im'ena Ma'avera Salav Tumea Misafik. So if it passes the test, then she's Tahora, and if it doesn't pass the test, then she is effectively Tumea. Nowadays, we don't have Zayin Samanim anymore because we don't exactly know what they all are. And therefore, what? So nowadays, so a woman sees a kesem. There's no obvious taliyah, but we don't know whether it's not. So if you have Zayin Samanim, okay, do the test. If you don't have Zayin Samanim, Achshav Ein Lanu Avar Zayin Samanim. And therefore, what? So what's the default halacha? Not clear in the mechaber. Says the Torah Sashlamim Sifkat and Lamed Lefima Shikasavne B'Sifkat and Kaftes. What do you write in Sifkat and Kaftes? Let's go back to Kaftes. It said if it doesn't pass the test, Tamei Misafik. Kakas or Rashi or Raivi, Vesigal Ramish, Mashmi, Dwarv, the Torah, Misfeka. Magamishna Kasa, the Gam, Das Aram, Lahakhmi, Misafik, came to Efsha, Liverure, Imudam, Otseva, Ain't the Nikrasafik. That if it's Efsha, Liverure, that's not called a Safik. Mashma, Deka, the Efsha, Bibidika, Kuliyama, Modi, Tavi, Safik, Jerbana, Lagula. So if it's Efsha, Livarer, and you weren't able to, yeah, and you weren't Livarer, then you have to be Machner. But if Ef Shalavari, there's no way of clarifying, then Safik Jeraban Lakula. So that sounds like, if we don't have the ability to do this test, then Safik Jeraban Lakula. V'hadim Sif Lamed, Einu Tzarech Lahakiva Kesem. I'm sorry, let's skip, that's not okay, us. Okay, so what does he write in Sifkat Lamed? So nowadays, we can't do the bedika. You have the right to be meko. Savid Rabban Lukul, it's the Efshar Levarer. Yeshalach Basafik, Imut Seva Odan. Achein, Halavush Kasav, the Yeshalach Hachmir Misafik. Vush says you have to be Machmir. Why? Sarach Lamar Davik is Safik, Hisarin Yedia. That is not just. It's not a safek that is Iyasha Levure. It's not a classic safek. It's a safek Yisar and Yediyah. It's not a safek in Din. It's a safek we're lacking knowledge. So a safek Yisar and Yediyah, maybe a different class of a safek. And then you have to be Machmer even on Dirabbanas. Ravadia has a bit of a richas about this. Page Taf Lamed Aleph, Taf Lamed Hey, these different kind types of safek. Safek Yisar and Yediyah. He thinks that you have the right to be mekel. The suffix, samad rabbanim. And nowadays, there's the possibility of a lab test. That's, you know, there are ways of determining scientifically whether something is dam or not. So there might be certain circumstances where that could help.
It
could also hurt, right?
It would be against Tal Shlomo.
I'm sorry?
It would be against Tal Shlomo.
It would be against
Tal Shlomo if we get rid of Jesus Kula.
If it ends up correct. If your default position would have been Lakula, so then it's only going to hurt. If your default position is like the Lavush, which is what some poskim assume, then it could help. Unless you'd argue that if you have access to such a test, so then that's no longer a Savit Yesha Vruri. Yeah.
Where did the Zayin Simanim originate from?
Well, that's a Mishnah on Samach Aleph. What do you mean originating? How did Chazal have a tradition? Or?
Right, meaning is this like a... Is this a sort of mysterious Masorah, in which case Fram couldn't replace it with science, or is this Chazal...
I don't think it's a matter of replacing it with science, but
like
it's... It doesn't. The Mishnah has his Shiva Samanim Abin Al Kasem list them that is able to test for you whether it's really dam or not. However, we know that I don't think that affects one way or another the possibility of a lab test being significant. Yeah, that's what they do. I'm sorry? I don't know if Balabatim could do it. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we'll resume Yirtzeh Hashem. The Zman officially begins Thursday after Sukkot, but the first Chabur will be the following Monday, Parshas Noach. And we're going to begin... I mean, we won't spend too much time on it. It happens to be a complicated sugya in the beginning of the ninth parak, but Simon Kutsari Aleph, which is one long seif of Isha Shamasa Dan Bahashtana. Okay, Marcus Sinato.
For the next 2.5 hours, what should we learn?
For the next 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours? Like, should we continue in
class? Have you finished Kutsari?
We have not finished Kutsari.
I would continue Kutsari.
Okay.
I heard that